Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I'm Bill Knight. I'm shocked. I'm alarmed.
Why are you shocked and alarmed?
Because you just said you're going to press the button, and you said you've got lots of buttons.
I do. I have multiple buttons.
I don't have a lot of. I got to get me buttons. Well, buttons.
Well, the worst thing is when you get to be my age, you lose your buttons. But that's another story for another time.
I used to pray for women to lose their buttons when I was young. But, you know.
Slap yourself. Hey, boy, lots to talk about today. You know, I heard Jeff Kooner on WRKO in Boston. He believes that the bridge accident was just an accident, which is unusual. But he says listeners are calling in. Obviously, his listeners like Jeff, but they disagree. And I think Jeff will come around eventually when he gets more information.
But he'll be pissed when he does.
Well, people are saying, what are you talking about, Jim? Well, see, Bill and I have looked at all the video, and I did something yesterday that I bet very few people did. I actually took a map out and looked at the map of Baltimore Harbor.
I did that.
And by the way, the entire harbor now is closed because it is, for all intents and purposes, it's blocked up. You can't access the harbor of Baltimore. That bridge went from one shore to the other, and by falling the way it fell, there's no way you can get a ship by that bridge and into the port. So you're saying
unloading that ship and getting everything done is going to be a nightmare. There were lives lost. There were construction workers on there that went down. Two were saved.
Yeah.
Now, they said that they didn't have, you know, they don't know how many. They're downplaying the number of cars. But when you watch the cars just going into the drink and the bridge coming down on top,
you see that.
I'm going like, okay, you could just count the vehicles and multiply by one, and you've got a lot of people there that aren't accounted for. Some of those cars had two or three. You had trucks with stuff. I mean, some idiots out there going, my fidget majigger from Alibaba, it's not going to be here.
Hey,
forget about your fidget majigger.
I got to tell you something. I was listening to Kooner's show this morning before we did ours, and a caller called in and said, you know, have you really paid close attention to that video? He said, because myself and some of my friends have been watching this, and it looks that there are key sections of the bridge that charges are going off. You can see the spark. Now, the camera obviously is at a distance, and there are lights behind the bridge. So what the guy may think are explosions may simply be a piece of metal moving out of the way, and you see seeing a light from behind the bridge, you know, from the shoreline. Wow. But
the other thing it could be is, you know, there were workers on the bridge. If they were welders on the bridge just doing some maintenance there,
that's
and you're
exactly
sitting there welding,
right,
and all of a sudden you, holy hell, that ship's got, you know.
Bill, all they're admitting to,
I dropped that torch.
All they're admitting to is they were filling potholes. That's all they're saying. By the way, I don't know about you, but when something like this happens and within the first hour or so, the politicians come out and tell you there's nothing to see here. This was not a terrorist attack. Think twice.
Well, let me ask you a question. If they were filling potholes. Now, I watched the video several times. Number one, the ship was going way too fast in the harbor.
Yes, it was.
There are rules. And then, you know, they said they radioed a Mayday, and there are backups and procedures in place. So that ship got pretty far in, and when the power went out, you see the lights go out.
Right.
They go out, and the ship is already turned towards the bridge.
The support.
The support.
Yeah.
So it was already maneuvering there. It was going at a high rate of speed. Then the lights went out, and then they came back on, almost like it was a signal.
Yes.
Okay, so go to your guys on the bridge.
Yes.
Now, with that said, as the lights came back on, you look at the smokestack in the back of the ship. And it's plummeting out as if somebody said, full steam, ramming speed.
Yeah.
And the black smoke bellows out in that thing. You can actually see the front of the ship kind of come up a little bit as they're applying the gas, and they're not trying to steer it.
And by the way, Bill,
right into the bridge.
Some people may say, well, maybe that was when they reversed the power, but that's not the case. You don't see any.
No.
As a matter of fact,
there's no way to show anything like that.
If you watch the video, the ship actually turns into the structure.
Yes.
Turns into the support. It doesn't, if it had kept on a certain trajectory, it might have missed the support.
But I'm saying it turns. A well-orchestrated, very clever attack. Now, the guys doing concrete on the bridge, that could be filling potholes, or they could have been using those holes to set charges, and somebody didn't get coordinated right, and that ship came in quicker than they were ready for. Two guys were saved.
Eight that went in the water, and I guess they rescued two, and six are missing.
Yeah, so those two guys, I'd be talking to them.
Yeah. This is interesting. A gentleman asked, why did the ship not drop anchor upon losing power, as is standard protocol when a ship is in what is called restricted maneuvering conditions, which is what that was in? Now, regardless of the ship failing to follow protocol, the disaster should serve as a warning about the security of our ports. The port of Baltimore is now closed. The port handles 52.3 million tons of international cargo worth approximately $80.8 billion in 2023. The port supports more than 15,000 direct jobs and more than 139,000 indirect jobs, generating more than $3 billion in total personal income. The port handled a record amount of foreign cargo last year, and it was the 17th biggest port in the nation overall in 2021, ranked by total tons, according to the Bureau of Transportation Statistics. The port was the largest importer of trucks and light vehicles in 2023, with approximately 750,000 cars and light trucks entering the port. 750,000 cars. If you're waiting for your Subaru or Toyota or whatever, your brand new car coming in from Japan, you might be waiting for a little while.
Those prices just went up.
Oh, yeah. Beyond that, an estimated 12.4 million vehicles cross the Francis Scott Key Bridge every year, nearly 34,000 per day. The economic impact of this bridge collapse is beyond measure. As of Tuesday morning, more than 40 ships are stuck inside the harbor. Imagine a similar accident in New York, collapsing the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, blocking the entrance to the ports of New York and New Jersey, which moved nearly 9.5 million containers in 2022. I mean,
well, you know what?
We could go on and on, but you see.
It's gonna dot, yeah, you know it's going to dot the I's and cross the T's, and that's when the next accident happens.
Well, that's exactly right. And Bill, people say, well, come on, this was just an accident. This who could have predicted this? Well, let me tell you something, Bill. You and I have done our research. We've done our homework on this story. We're not saying we can guarantee.
It could be the tragic of most tragic accidents, but there is enough doubt there. There is enough going on in the world of news that you got to sit there and say, you know, let's just not take the cover story for face value.
Right.
Let's take a look at this and let's make sure that all the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, because if they're not, you know, there are people that are going to be paying the price for this accident that shouldn't be. As a matter of fact, you know, any container on that ship old maritime law that goes back to the old days of sailors that, you know, sat there and said, well, you know, basically the cargo on there has something to do with the liability, because that gave the sailors the right in stormy weather to push cargo off the ship. Obviously, this is not the case. In other words, if you owned a company that had cargo on that ship and that made that cargo, you are part of the,
well,
you'll be paying for it.
Not really, because Joe Biden said, don't worry about anything. The United States government is going to pay for the replacement of the bridge in full. In full. Biden said this in his press conference.
Where's the money coming from, Joe?
He's going to get it from Congress. I mean, after all, they have the printing press, so they're just going to crank it out. So what he's saying, don't worry, folks, you're going to pay for the replacement of that bridge that was destroyed by a private company. But besides,
Pelosi's still around because she's got the ink in her purse for that press.
I'm sure she does. If you think that we are alone in thinking like we're thinking, I want to read this to you. There are very few true reporters left in our country. Very few true reporters. There are repeaters. Now, there's a difference between a reporter and a repeater. A repeater takes the story that's handed to him and repeats it to the media, okay? That's
like
what we
crow.
Have now. We have a lot of those. But Laura Logan, who right now probably can't get a job in the media because she is somebody who thinks for herself and does serious investigations and is not always in line with the corporate story, she issued this on X yesterday. Multiple intel sources, colon, Baltimore Bridge collapse was an, quote, absolute brilliant strategic attack, end quote, on U.S. critical infrastructure, most likely cyber, and our intel agencies know it. In information warfare terms, they just divided the U.S. along the Mason-Dixon line exactly like the Civil War. The second busiest strategic roadway in the nation for hazard, this is something I didn't even think about. The second busiest strategic roadway in the nation for hazardous material now is down for 4 to 5 years, which is how long they say it'll take to recover the bridge, to rebuild it. The bridge was built specifically to move hazardous material, fuel, diesel, propane gas, nitrogen, highly flammable materials, chemicals, and oversized cargo that cannot fit into the tunnels. That simply the supply chain now is crippled because of this bridge going down. Make no mistake.
So you had to take a bridge out. That was the one.
Oh, Bill, you couldn't have picked a better bridge to bring down. Make no mistake. This was an extraordinary attack in terms of planning, timing, and execution. The two critical components on that bridge are the two load-bearing pylons on each end closest to the shore. They are bigger, thicker, and deeper than anything else. These are the anchor points, and they knew that. They knew that hitting either one of them would be a fatal wound to the entire structure.
This is like, 911. They knew Bin Laden.
Boy, is that you hit that on the nail, right on the head. You're absolutely correct.
This is exactly the same thing.
They knew where to put those planes exactly in those buildings to bring them down.
And they knew where to shove that tanker right up our...
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
So what gets me, though, is the media dutifully continues to say, nothing to see here. It was just a terrible accident. Boy, and we're going to get another press conference at 1 o'clock. Oh, boy, we'll have our cameras there so the politicians can stroll out.
We're being lied to consistently.
Unbelievable. You know, folks, use your head. I'm not saying that we're 100% right, but don't just take the pablum that they're dishing out to you as being the whole story. Go look at the video yourself. There's one video, Bill, you probably have seen it, of the ship. They sped it up 8 times. They speed the video up 8 times, and by doing so, the turn is much more
pronounced.
Pronounced, exactly. Thank you. You can see the ship do this abrupt turn into the support. It's almost as if someone said, you know, you got to turn now. Turn now to hit it. You know, turn. They were aiming. If you lost power and you could still steer the ship.
You would have shut down, yeah. You wouldn't be saying, well, just keep going the direction we're going because if we don't do anything, we'll hit that pylon and take down the whole damn bridge. Well, that's what we want to do. Okay, then keep doing it. Hey, let's cut the power for a little bit. You know, rev up them engines and then turn the power back on. Let the crew on the bridge know, get the hell out of the way. You know, but then again, did they really care about the crew on the bridge? They're in that nice big tanker and...
You know, they had
You want to protest something?
Do you know they had a warning? They had a warning. Listen to this. This is the police, the Metropolitan District Transit Authority police radio dispatcher about, they say, 60 seconds before the bridge went down. Listen.
Eddie, one of you guys on the south side, one of you guys on the north side, hold on traffic on the Key Bridge. There's a ship approaching that just lost their steering. So until you get that under control, we got to stop all traffic.
Yeah, we're all on en route to the south side.
This is my start.
I'm holding traffic now. I was dragging, but we stopped prior to the bridge, so I'll have all hourly traffic stopped.
Once you get here, I'll go grab the workers on the Key Bridge and then stop the outer loop.
C-13 dispatch, the whole bridge just fell down. Start is whoever, everybody. The whole bridge just collapsed.
Simple, dispatch is correct.
That's correct.
There's time.
Give me no more traffic, we're south.
I can't get to the other side, so the bridge is down.
That's the dispatcher. Now, all that time, for most of that time, they were stopping traffic. The thing that gets me is that they could have dropped anchor at the beginning of that audio and probably would have missed hitting the bridge. People say, what do you mean? Have you seen how fast an anchor drops when you release it? I mean, they work on gravity. Those things are heavy, yeah. And they work. When you release the anchor, they just sail to the floor, the ocean floor, the river floor, the riverbed. And it probably would have stopped the ship.
Yeah, it the channel's deep. They dredged that out, but it's not deep enough to where you don't have enough anchor to get down to what you need to get to hit the ground. There is a science that goes into weighing anchor and, you know, whether it's going to stop the ship or not. But either way, they lost power. Engine should be off, but they weren't. And even if the power came back on, they shouldn't have revved up in full throttle when you're headed towards the bridge. They revved up and, you know, power wasn't off in that engine. The lights went out. Yes, they came back on and shone the light on the fact that, you know, they were throttling up. And they even steered more. And see, them saying, well, they lost their steering. Wait a minute. They radioed in a mayday before anything. Oh, I didn't hear about that. They're not talking about that. Well, now, it came afterwards. That's a little late if you knew you had problems.
Yeah.
You have redundancies in anything like that. Nothing was done. So I'm sitting there going, the stories don't all coagulate and add up together. You know, the fact is, if I were the captain of a ship and I'm going, we're having a problem, shut her down. Weigh anchor. That's it. You know, get that distress call going. We're stopping. Anybody behind us? You know, we're slamming the brakes on, you know. And if I saw that we were faring to the right, I'd say cut her left, you know.
What gets me is that if you look at this bridge, it's not like this ship had a small area to maneuver in. It's not like it was aiming for a narrow opening in the bridge to sneak through. If you look at the part that ship missed, it was most of the bridge. I mean, they had a lot of room to miss the support structure. They turned into the support. Nobody in the media is talking about this. I mean, you hear it. I cannot believe the naivete the stupidity of the media today, because nobody, except for Laura Logan, who's doing it on X, with no network support, and guys like us, nobody's talking about the possibility that we had an attack yesterday. You know?
And we should talk about the possibility. Well, why do you want to do that? Because it's a good chance that we were under attack.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I never even thought about the fact that toxic chemicals and waste and things like that use that bridge every day. Every single day to go from, you know, the north to the south, south to the north. I mean, it's a main artery in our system that has just been clogged, just been stopped. You know, for every $100 of money that goes into the city of Baltimore, $12 comes from shipping. $12 comes from shipping. That's gone. All of those employees we talked about that work either directly or indirectly for the port, they're out of work now. I think I read where Amazon has a big warehouse at that port. If you're expecting stuff from Amazon, it might be delayed if not canceled altogether. I'm just saying. These are big, big places that are all of a sudden have become inoperable. They don't work. They're not functioning anymore. I mean, you heard, I think I read, 43 ships are stuck in the harbor. All of the stuff that's on those ships, they ain't going anywhere.
Well, the thing that you mentioned in that, because I didn't realize what it was built for and what goes over it, but, and we'll talk about this story a little bit later too, but, oil and gas. So when, we have gas for, fueling our cars.
Yeah.
It travels over that highway. Military supplies travel over that highway. The reason I know military supplies, government trucks, my brother used to drive, those trucks, for a company out in California. And we'll leave it at that. And
they have
so that bridge.
They have tunnels, Bill, that they would. The alternate is tunnels. And you have to get permits. And you have to, in many cases, be escorted through the tunnels if you have hazardous materials on your truck.
Oh, yeah, if that blows down underneath, you can't.
Right.
They're going to have to open that up. Biden will open it up without thought because he doesn't care, which is opening up a chance for another disaster. But do you think the gas prices are going to go through the roof now?
I think it's going to affect a lot of stuff.
Food supplies, gas supplies.
Stuff. Yep.
Cars. I was looking at trading the truck and getting something a little bit more economical. You mentioned a Subaru, and I'm sitting there going, "Well, there goes that one."
Bill, now, how about sometimes on these bridges they'll have like pipes that run under the bridge to carry stuff, over the bridge. It's a route for like natural gas or something like that, as opposed to them putting it on the bed of the river. They will run pipes sometimes underneath the roadbed, as an alternate source of revenue for the people who own the authority that runs the bridge.
Which is kind of scary if those rupture and things like that. I mean, it's tragic. It's bad.
Yeah.
But then again, it could have been far worse. But, I'm sitting there thinking, Biden wants to have by 2030, that we are electric. He's hunkering down on that, even though we're not ready. Although there is the report that China has come out with a new electric car that they are mass producing and flooding our market with. And the port of entry for cars from, China and anywhere in Europe is Baltimore. And they were flooding with these $10,000, subcompact and midsize cars that were coming in that had the auto industry all up in arms. Well, now they can't come in.
Well, I mean, that's one thing, but, hey.
I don't want an electric car, but I'm just saying there's a lot of different things going on here. And, now we can't be caught up in the minutiae of how long it's going to take to peel back the onion, but we got to be honest, something doesn't smell right.
Well, speaking of not smelling right, our chief executive, our commander-in-chief, he said this about the Key Bridge.
At about 1:30, a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware either on a train or by car.
Can you believe that? He says by train or by car. There's no tracks on the Key Bridge. So if he went on a train over the Key Bridge, it must have been a very interesting trip. Because there's no track on the.
Well, he's done it more than once, So, Biden wouldn't lie about something like that, would he?
I think that he can't help himself sometimes.
People
who are kind would say he likes to embellish his story. Others would say he's just a compulsive liar. But,
I think it's a combination of both because, he does talk to the voices in his head. And Strom Thurmond is a great friend of his, and he still talks to him on a daily basis.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact,
he might even pray to him. I'm not sure.
Yes, exactly. So, we now have one of the key ports in our country destroyed, or at least, and I say destroyed, there's no alternate route, okay? That's why I checked the map. Sometimes in a port, there will be an alternate way for the ships to get out. But as I can see by looking at the map, this is it.
Let's just say the sirens went off. Okay. You turned on the radio, which is voice tracked and automated now, because you're not going to get it from the internet. And you get the EBS that right. you need to take, you know, you need to shelter in place, you need to take shelter. Or an attack comes in where a dirty bomb goes off somewhere in New York or Rhode Island or something like that, and you need to escape.
Well, one of your escape bridges, one of the highway systems, the I-95 corridor, is now... it's going to be more clogged up than normal because...
And the mobilized rescue services.
Because 695, by the way, which connects to I-95, yeah. It goes right over the Key Bridge. 695 actually goes down toward the Baltimore-Washington International Airport. It's a key road. It's a key artery. It's now clogged up. It's shut down. It doesn't work. You can't get from there to there. It's simple as that.
So, and, you know, you got to look at what's going on there and proximities to everything. I mean,
and Bill,
it could be the precursor of something more nefarious to happen.
If I said to you, Bill, if I said to you, I want to bring down that bridge and absolutely clog up that entire one-mile opening, could you have done it any better than how they did it yesterday?
What other cities are around there? Big cities.
Washington. Mm-hmm. Washington. Baltimore.
So
that,
yeah. Yeah. So Washington, that's a chokehold there.
Right.
Philadelphia is not too far.
Nope. That's exactly right. If you're going north with material and you're going on 695, yeah. You're not going to go
New York
that way. Yeah, exactly. It literally just
it's a hub.
It clogs up a vital portion of our infrastructure. You know, our infrastructure is weak as it is. So
we're missing one.
What's that?
I just said it's a hub, right?
Right.
There's a big major mail distribution hub there.
Well, you know.
What does that do?
Checks. And a lot of things, important documents,
ballots,
probably Social Security checks. Well, that I guess that's direct deposit now, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Some people still get the checks. That's direct deposit. But then again, too, you know, you never know. I mean, what's going to go down next that could take down your electronic transfers? But I was sitting there going, you know, is this part of a plan to sit there and say, well, you know, we'll disrupt certain little areas. And, you know, mail's not electronic. You know, and your votes, who knows? I'm just saying,
you know,
I remember the hubs in Philadelphia. They were loaded with tractor trailers that had ballots in them that they just sat there and said, they didn't get to them until afterwards, and then it was too late.
And who would you want to fix a problem like this? Joe Biden, who hasn't had a real job in his entire life, or a guy like Trump, who built things his whole life. As a matter of fact, if you're familiar with the ice skating rink story in Central Park in New York, it was a debacle. It was a mess for quite some time. And Trump was going by, from what the story goes, and said, what's the story with the ice skating rink? And I guess they said, the contractors, they just can't get it done. And Trump said, I'll do it. And he went to the city. He brought it in under budget and ahead of deadline. So this is the kind of thing that he does. I would submit that if Trump were president, that bridge would probably be up within 6 to 8 months because he would cut a lot of red tape. He would probably, the new bridge can probably be built on shore and floated into place. Do you know what I'm saying? As opposed to the old days when they used, it may not be the same.
Oh yeah,
bridge.
They could assemble it. Yeah, because they're going to have to check those supporting the foundation pillars or the main supports. I'm sure the concrete and the ground. Although you know a ship hitting like it did, that one could actually have been disrupted. They may have to
dredge Bill,
that out and
what they have.
Report it.
If you saw how they built, they replaced the Tappan Zee Bridge, which crosses the Hudson. They replaced it. They call it the Mario Cuomo Bridge because everything with them is
oh, you think
ego.
This will still be the Francis Scott Key?
No.
Or is there going to be
forget Francis Scott Key. He only wrote the national anthem.
the national anthem.
Yeah,
well,
don't.
You know, there's a new one out there. Maybe it'll be somebody
maybe the black national anthem guy, whoever that person
well,
is.
Well, it could be.
Yeah, it could be
his
bridge. I
mean, Martin Luther's got enough roads named after him, so we don't need him.
It'll be the Barack Obama Bridge, which takes us. It'll take us yeah. to a whole different country altogether. From one place
well,
to another.
You know, we got the squad. You know, it could be named after one of the
AOC.
The
AOC.
Oh,
bridge.
The AOC bridge.
Oh,
that would fall apart right away.
It sure would. I wouldn't trust it. Anyway, that's what we're dealing with right now. We have. I would prefer having Trump as the guy in charge, but rest assured, Joe Biden has Pete Buttigieg handling everything, so he will jump on it. Figuratively speaking. Anyway, I mean,
there's
just
so many lines
just,
there.
It just gets crazier every day. You know, my cohort in crime.
Oh gosh, not this. Okay.
No, he did something interesting yesterday. Bill is a technical guru.
No, I am not a
well,
technical
you
guru.
You are compared to a lot of people, but you are.
No,
there?
I am not.
Okay.
But
anyway, he was messing around with AI. Was it yesterday, Bill?
I was actually working on another project, you know, and so a lot of times, you know, you can use AI for
you were daydreaming
marketing things. Well, I do that all the time. I'm doing that right now. You know, I'm off. I'm in the Netherlands right now.
I'm sure you are.
But, you know, for marketing things, you can write nice little Google catch lines and things like that. And, you know, you throw it in there and you give it a little thing and it comes out with everything. So, yeah, what I did is somebody did this scientific story, you know. And I said,
yeah.
Well, that's AI generated. I can tell AI real quick, even though it writes well. And I said, well, you can't do political stuff, but I'll just sit there, you know, the end of America. America has fallen. That's all I get.
This is what you fed into the artificial intelligence program,
which will not do anything political. Like if I would have said illegal, that word would have flagged it or anything
right.
like that. But I said America, that you know, when something to the effect of America has fallen, America fell.
And it
you
came.
Know, so
it
the
came
end
up
of America.
It came up with a short essay. And,
yeah.
I think we should read it to the people. This is from AI. Now, AI has access to just about all the information on the internet. Besides having, you know, it can get facts and figures and philosophies and instantly bring these things into its consciousness, whatever that is, and then use it. So that's what it – So
it's always learning. So,
yes.
And I'm a terrible cold reader, just so you know.
That's okay, Bill. I'll start with the first paragraph,
and
we'll see how it goes. It was a beautiful fall day in America. The leaves were turning vibrant shades of red and orange, and the air held a crispness that could only mean one thing. Change was coming. Little did anyone know, this particular fall would mark the beginning of the end for America as we knew it.
For years, Americans had prided themselves on their two-party political system, believing it was a true reflection of democracy. But what they didn't realize was that behind the scenes, a sinister plan was being orchestrated by those in power. The population had been unknowingly pitted against each other, divided by class, race, and political ideologies.
The two parties were no longer working for the people, but instead serving their own selfish interests. And with each passing year, the divide grew wider and more chaotic. It wasn't until there was an uprising in one of the major cities that things truly took a turn for the worst.
The city erupted into chaos as citizens marched through the streets, demanding change and accountability from their government. But instead of listening to their cries for help and understanding their frustrations, those in power saw it as an opportunity to further manipulate and control.
They used this moment to unleash military force onto innocent civilians, people who were simply standing up for what they believed in. The once beloved country now resembled a war zone as buildings burned down and lives were lost.
As panic set in across America, other countries began to take notice of their downfall. They watched with horror as The most powerful nation crumbled before their eyes, but little did they know that soon enough, they would follow suit.
Because while all eyes were on America's demise, those in power had already infiltrated other governments around the world with promises of wealth and power if they followed their lead.
And just like dominoes falling one after another, country after country fell victim to the same fate, manipulated by greed and corrupted leaders.
Soon enough, the world was in chaos. Wars broke out, supplies dwindled, and fear reigned supreme. It was a domino effect that no one could have ever predicted.
And as for America, it was unrecognizable. The once great nation was reduced to rubble and ashes, its people scattered and broken.
In the end, it wasn't just America's fall. It was the fall of humanity, and all because they thought they had a two-party system but failed to see the bigger picture, how they were being played by those in power until it was too late.
But perhaps one day, after years of struggle and hardship, a new generation would arise from the ashes and rebuild what once was with lessons learned from their tragic past.
Until then, the story of America would serve as a haunting reminder of how easily manipulation and division can tear apart even the strongest nation.
Sound like anything that we are going through?
But that is written by artificial intelligence, from resources it gets off the internet, from a mood, from stuff it generates off the internet. It didn't just make this up out of thin air. I mean, it actually has a direction that is charted for it by what's out there, you know?
Yeah, the sum of all knowledge. It's the sum of all knowledge, whether it's liberal or conservative, left or right-leaning, whatever leaning, it's the sum of all the knowledge. So it's saying that there's something else.
Well, you know, Bill, you and I have talked about this. We said that between, I think it was March 25th and April 8th, there would be some major attacks or a major attack in our country. Did we not experience something like that yesterday?
I say it was an attack, but it's probably the precursor of something far more nefarious and much, much bigger.
So you expect more?
Well, I do. Look, color me wrong, and if I'm wrong, great. You know, I'm not saying great that we had this tragedy, but, you know, you can only pray that that's all it was just a terrible, 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 terrible accident. But if it wasn't, This is Pearl Harbor all over again.
You know, when the Twin Towers were attacked, I was thinking about this. I was working in a small radio station doing a morning show, you know, sliding into retirement, doing a morning show in a small station. And they had a TV on in the newsroom, and I saw the plane hit the first building. And the reporters essentially were saying, well, it looked like a tragic accident, maybe the pilot fell asleep, or, I mean, they were justifying it and simplifying what happened when the plane hit the first tower. And it had to be some kind of maybe mechanical problem with the plane, or maybe the pilot fell. We had all these different reasons why that plane hit. It wasn't until the second plane was hit the tower, that they realized that they were under attack and there was no way of hiding it. You see, yesterday, when they all ran out, all the politicians, all the weasels, the governor, the mayor, all these people just came out as quickly as they could to say, it's not a terrorist attack, it's just a terrible accident. When they do that, think about it logically. Think about it logically. I watched the press conference from the National Transportation Safety Board chairman yesterday at the site. And she said, we think it's just an accident, but we won't know for sure until we get our inspectors out there. And that won't be until tomorrow, because we're respecting the recovery efforts being done and not want, we don't want to interfere with that. Well, how can you go out and say it wasn't something when you haven't even looked at what is on the ship, at what happened to the ship? You know, you haven't had an inspector go into the bridge and look at the instruments. You haven't had an inspector go down into the engine room to see whether there was something wrong with the engines. Or maybe there, people may say, well, you know, don't make it sound like it's a cyber attack because, you know, those engines probably aren't connected to the internet. Well, you know, you can jerry-rig something with a drop phone, you know, one of those quick phones you get at the store. Burner phone. Thank you very much. You get a burner phone, and you probably can. That's how they trigger explosives from a remote location. If someone wants to set off a bomb somewhere, you have it so that you can dial a number to a burner phone that's connected to the explosive, and that's how it triggers it. Who's to say they didn't do something like that with this ship? You know,
that could be. I mean, the other thing that they could do, I mean, I saw the video in the wee hours of the morning. Nothing was happening around that ship after it collided. You didn't see guys panicking, throwing out the lifeboats and jumping off the ship. You didn't see people jumping on the ship or helicopters coming to it.
Yeah.
And the lights had come back on. So let's say that they just sat there and went back and said, okay, we got to have damage on this ship to, you know, back up the story. You know, Figamaru, go over there and set a fire over there. We'll hose it out. You know, put a small charge in there and short out some. They could sit there and make the, you know, cause, you know, give the effect for the cause.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Fake it.
The lights went off twice, right? It's somebody that lost its power twice. By the way, when it hit the bridge, I don't remember the lights going out. I mean, after it hit the bridge, I think the lights were on the ship. I don't think they went out when it hit the ship. I could be wrong. I'll have to go back and look. But I think the lights were on and stayed on.
When it hit.
Yeah. The other thing is this. Did that ship look like it had too much stuff on it? To me,
Overloaded.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was sitting, and that's what I was saying. It was kind of listing in, or weighing down the front and the bow. But when the lights went out and came back on, you see that pillar of smoke, like they were throttling up the engine. It did lift a little bit, and I'm going like, you're headed towards the pier. You're going to hit that bridge, and you're going to sit there and go, yeah, give her some more gas.
Yeah.
You know, you're driving your pickup truck towards the cliff, and you're going, okay, I got to catch control because I'm sliding on ice that's on the mountain. Yeah, let's give it some more gas so we can catch control since we're 10 foot from the cliff. Makes sense to me.
Hey, folks.
And they were farther than 10 foot. But,
you know. Don't expect the truth from this story, okay? Don't expect it. They started to tell you it was a tragic accident, and they're going to stay with that story no matter what unless something else happens. If there's another attack in another port, well, then it's hard for them to say it was an accident. You know what I'm
saying?
Obviously,
they had control. When the lights went out and came back on, they had control. So if they had control and you were headed, if you were sailing full steam towards a bridge to take it out and you had control and you didn't want to hit that bridge, well, besides steering away from it, what would be the other thing you'd do? You'd stop those engines and put her in reverse.
Absolutely. The other thing is this. When you look at the video, like we did, it's not a casual turn to the left. It's a significant turn towards the structure.
Harsh.
Why didn't, if they had some kind of control to make a turn, why didn't they just turn away from the support? Instead of going to the left like it did into the support, why didn't it just go to the right in a way? The whole right area was open area. Even if it was a sandbar, let's say, well, we were trying to stay in the channel. Hey, listen. Go up on the sandbar, get stuck, beach it if you have to, but don't hit the structure. Don't hit the support. You know, we were trying to stay in the channel. Horse pucky, okay? you could have avoided that. If you had control to turn it into the support, you could have turned it away. I'm just saying. So there is a lot going on here, and you're going to see other press briefings, and they're going to say, well, we still think it was a tragic accident, and our National Transportation Safety Board people are out there now, and that's the next thing. And they're taking their – it may take months to get an answer. They do that all the time, you know. They don't come out with a quick decision like, hey, it was intentional. They'll say, well, we have to bring it all back and examine this and go through these parts, and we have to have our lab technicians check the Zilch Fritch or the Gazilla, you know, whatever they call it, because it controls the such and such, and we have to have it inspected. It may take 6 months to a year before we know exactly what happened. By that
It'll be blamed on some washer or something like that, exactly. Made by a company in Kentucky, you know, and, you know, kind of like what happened with the shuttle the one time. I mean, it's crazy what goes on, and this story is going to be developing for a while, but it probably is a distraction. Things happened yesterday that you probably didn't know about, you know, and I mean. You know, in the Trump case, Stormy Daniels, the lefty judge came out and said, gag order on Trump, you're not allowed to say. Well, is that not a familiar thing? You're not allowed to defend yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the one trial which shouldn't be, because he's been found clean of this all along. She is a slut.
He also gagged not just Trump from talking about the case. He gagged his lawyer from talking about the case in the courtroom. How do what the hell is that all about?
It means that they've already come up with a decision, and they're going to ram it through so that they can say he is a felon, lock him up, and that's what they want to do. Stormy is getting money from, I'm getting no money. Quit lying, B-I-T-C-H, you are getting money.
She already she got paid, you know, there's always, what are they?
Oh, the hush money thing is, look, you bother me, just go away. It doesn't mean you're guilty.
Right.
It means, and she goes, oh, okay, but see, somebody came along and said, look, you got to say you fear for your life, and that's why you're coming out, because if not, we'll kill you. You know, so,
but
I
guess she signed an agreement. They have them all the time, these agreements with corporations, things like that.
A lot of rich people sign it because they have money, they're attacked.
Yes.
You know, if you got something, you're attacked. And, you know, trust me. You know, the first thing that's thrown out there is sexual misconduct.
Right.
You know, it's thrown around all the time, happens to people that don't have money, but you're in a position to where you control something they want. I'll just use sex against him. And I'm not saying that there are people that don't use sex, but I'm just saying this seems to be a convenient narrative from left judges against a candidate that could, you know, upset the apple cart for Joe. But either way, that's going on. Oh, by the way, Ronna McDaniel got fired from NBC. Did you know that?
Yeah, she did. It didn't take very long. She was on one show, Meet the Press, over the weekend. And Chuckles Todd just couldn't stand it. He couldn't stand having her on the same set. I think they had to have it exercised or something. You know, I mean, he acted like she had, I'm talking about Kristen Welker, who did the interview, he made it sound like she was put in an awkward situation. How dare they? Well, let me just play a little bit of what he said.
Oh, sure.
Dive right in. What were your takeaways?
Look, let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for her. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Mind you, I'm going to stop it there because I start to get physically sick. Mind you, they have Jen Psaki, who spoke for the Biden administration, right?
Well, that's a horse of a different
color. She has a show, and it's okay for her to be on television. Chuck Todd was an operative for the Democrats, as was, I think, Jake Tapper. I mean, all these guys have backgrounds in politics. George Stephanopoulos had a
left-leaning politics. Yeah. Let's understand, they are a member of an elite club. Somebody at MSNBC or NBC said, well, let's get her over here. And that might have just been for show for a little while, and Ron is getting a taste of what it's really like out there. You know, and what she's done is she's alienated herself along with her, I can't even think of his name now.
Well, they're going to apparently they're going to have to pay Rana her whole contract. She's also getting legal representation because now her reputation has been damaged by this whole thing. I said this yesterday, Bill, but it bears repeating again. When I worked in broadcasting, and I worked for some big broadcasting companies, as did you, if I went on the air and started to criticize my bosses about something they had done strategically in the operation, if I started to say they had no business hiring the guy to do mornings because I've heard him on other radio stations and he's not that good and he's going to bring the station down, if I did something like that on the air, okay, I would have seen my walking papers before the mic was off at the end of the show. They would have said, "We run this station, not you. This is our station. We're charged with making this station successful, not you. You are an employee." That's what they should have done to Chuck Todd, not to Rana. They should have said to Chuck Todd, "You got a big mouth, Chuck. You're out of here." And they should have turned around to Kristen Welker and said, "Kristen, you got a problem with that?" And if she said, "Well, I agree with Chuck," I would have said, "Get your coat. You're going too." That's how broadcasting used to be.
And Maddow was in on that little,
yeah,
clobberall. You know, I was going to use another word, and I said, "No, that's not appropriate." So, yeah, it's just, I was just mentioning this just to say, yeah, she got fired. We got to do a little topic there. Yeah. So you got Stormy, you got that, you got, James Biden. This is a developing story that is happening. Medicaid fraud.
Yeah.
And stuff that older people count on. And, Joe is out there for the average citizen. Now, you remember that he got paid $200,000 from James, and it was a repayment of a loan. Apparently, that money comes from... James has been found out because somebody finally in Pennsylvania sat there and said, "I'm done. I'm turning evidence," and there is Medicaid fraud.
Yeah,
at the doorstep of the Bidens, and that $200,000 wasn't a
loan. Well, that person in Pennsylvania should make sure that he has a good security detail around him.
Well, I understand that the wheels, the lug nuts might be loose on the wheels on his car. He's going to be compelled to drive it at a high rate of speed going around a real tight turn off of, by a cliff.
I got one for you, Bill. I got one for you. The president of Mexico, in an interview, has confirmed what essentially appears to be his attempt to blackmail the United States into paying billions of dollars, or else... quote, "the flow of migrants will continue," end quote. A report at Fox News reveals that Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador earlier demanded a series of actions by the United States in order for him to try to cut off the millions of illegal aliens coming from Mexico.
So he could do it, but he's holding his ransom.
We'll do it, but you got to pay us.
If Bill Nye was president, El Presidente here, I would sit there and say, "Manuel, hey, I got a proposition for you. We have the influx of your illegal aliens. You're going to have our illegal aliens, although they're going to be wearing battle fatigue, and they will have M16s, and they will have every weapon that they have that the U.S. military supplies them. You want an invasion? You got one, buddy, unless you fix it now."
Here's what they know in Mexico, okay?
Yeah, I'm a radical, I know.
They know that Joe Biden's got about 8 months, maybe 9 months in office, and this is their last chance. The bell is ringing around the campfire. It's time to come and get it. So they're coming and getting the money, all right? And they're going to do whatever they can because they know this. When Trump gets into office, he's going to go down to see Obrador, and he's going to pat him on the back, and he's going to be nice, and he's going to say, "Look it, if you don't cut it out, we're going to increase our tariffs to Mexico on all the stuff you bring into our country by 100%. He's already said he's going to do that. He said it at his rallies. So they know that if Trump gets in, the whole landscape is going to change. So it's make hay while the sun shines, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. I mean, gas prices are up, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting because there was a story in the news today. Now, I think this story actually came out before the accident yesterday, which could have a devastating effect on
right.
it and this success of Biden. But apparently there's a thing called the Biden hush-hush oil boom. Yes, he's out there, you know, promoting, asserting environmental policies. But apparently the U.S., the gas and oil production, now we thought it was all shut off.
Right.
I mean, we quit producing. We don't have the jobs anymore and anything like that.
Right.
Well, apparently it's way up. 13 million barrels a day for 2023. Where's the oil, I ask you? Where are the jobs? Where's the money? Why are the prices up? Well, according to the S&P Global Insights in December, this past December, the U.S. produced more oil than any other nation in history.
Wait a second.
Where is it?
Yeah.
Where are the jobs?
Are they shipping it overseas?
Well, yeah, but I don't see the trucks carrying it. I don't see the wells pumping it. Where is it, Joe?
Wait a second. Or is it simply a lie?
Oh, but we got to get that story out there to say that, yeah, he's got the best thing in it. He won by the biggest amount in history. Mm-hmm. He's done all the greatest things in history. And, you know, the list goes on and on and on from a liar and cheat all his life, a stuttering idiot. And now, well, you know, actually oil production really was up. This is all a secret. The bridge came down. We can't Well, there you go, friends.
I got to play one more thing for you. Yesterday, Karine Jean-Pierre was
phone call.
She was doing an interview with Mark Garrison at WBT 1110.
Yeah, yes,
I love how, by the way, when they describe it with these people who don't know radio, they will describe he was on WBT 99.3 FM. I'm thinking, oh, come on, that's like a translator. WBT historically is 1110. It's 50,000 watts. It can be heard all over the South and much of the North. It's a huge radio station. So Karine Jean-Pierre is on doing an interview with Mark Garrison. And here's how, well, he describes it. Listen.
President Biden is running behind Donald Trump by several points right now in North Carolina. So press secretary Karine Jean-Pierre called WBT, hoping to promote Biden's visit. But when I asked about inflation increasing under Biden, she said prices have come down.
Eggs, milk, seafood products, groceries that people have on their groceries list every week, those costs have gone down because of what this president has been able to do.
And then without taking any other questions, she hung up on
Mark, have an amazing day.
Jean-Pierre also said it was highly offensive that I asked her if President Biden has dementia, even though a majority of North Carolina voters are worried about his mental state. Mark Garrison, WBT.
Unbelievable. I mean, I've heard a lot of talk show guests get angry at the host, but to summarily dismiss them like she did, That is extremely rare.
You're not allowed to ask any questions. You listen to what she says, and that's it. Bye.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, you know, Biden yesterday with that press conference with the ship, right?
Oh, geez.
He finished making a statement where he said that the American people are going to pay for the replacement of the bridge in total, and that's that. He said it, and then he said, I'll take maybe one question. They asked one silly question. He said, I'm not going to answer that, and he left. He toddled out of the room, and that was the end of that. Because they don't have to give you answers. You know, do you remember, Bill, when Trump was president, how the media was all over him for not giving enough answers and not being? Trump was always available for the people. Trump would be walking to the helicopter. He would stop, and he would talk for 10 minutes to the press. Impromptu press conferences, and he answered all of their stupid questions, all of their gotcha questions. He answered, right? Biden, he just ignores them all, and they take it like dutiful little, as you say, sycophants, okay? They just, okay, fine. Well, President Biden just dumped all over us, so we'll just take it because that's what we do because we're the media.
But they love him. You know, the little sycophants love him, and they say he can do it. He's a great guy. I would take him because he's more trustworthy and honest.
Yeah.
You know, even the Democrats, before they ran Joe, you know, they sat there and said, yeah, he's all we got, but, you know. They've been propping that puppet up for a long time. By the way, not only is it Easter weekend, but it's the new President's Day in honor of Joe Biden on Monday, just so you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Hey, a couple of other little ditties that you may have heard, or maybe you didn't hear about this. Prince Harry's name appears in U.S. court documents related to a $30 million lawsuit claiming that Sean Diddy Combs is a sexual abuser of men and women. This is from Mail Online. Record producer Rodney Little Rod Jones filed the bombshell lawsuit against Diddy and claims that his affiliation to the Duke of Sussex, that's Prince Harry, and other stars gave him and his associates legitimacy. By the way, they're saying that Combs' airplane did fly to Antigua, but they don't know whether he was on it or not. I'm thinking, what was it doing? Was it like, were they airing out the plane for some reason? Were they going down for gas because it was cheaper in Antigua? I don't know, you know. But I think he was on it.
Yeah, I think so too. Sometimes idle planes, they go, hey man, come on, fly me, you know. So the pilot takes it out for a spin.
That's true.
You know, Joe Biden, when he was vice president, he'd sit there, you know, because he's really concerned about frugality here. And
yes.
He used to give people rides on Air Force One, you know.
Did he really?
He could. Yeah, he loved to do that. So.
He was.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
What a nice guy.
He could make a special trip for you, you know. Sure he can. You're a donor, right? Yeah, okay.
That's true. A recent video has been unearthed showing that Trump-hating Senator Chuck Schumer, he was dancing in the streets of New York with Trump-obsessed New York Attorney General Letitia James. You can see it online.
She dances, Chuck
Schumer and Letitia were just cutting a rug, as they would say, on the streets of New York. And that's all I got, my friend. I'm done.
I was done before we started, but that's a whole different thing, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It's Wednesday. That's all I can say. We're on the downhill slide to what could be an interesting weekend. And like I said,
you got to pay attention to the news. Things are happening.
Joe's Day on Monday, April Fool's Day, so there you go.
April Fool's Day. If the shoe fits.
He's going to wear it for us. Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, I guess that's about it. If you want to contact us, our number is 833-538-7868, 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com, mail at jimandbill.com, jimandbill@mail.com. Jimandbill@mail.com. Okay, I can read. Yeah, I can.
You know, so many .coms, it just gets all confusing, you know?
I'm a .com guy. What can I say?
I think we have just about done it. You can put a fork in this one. It's finished. There's only one thing left to do, Bill.
Well, according to the AI, it's hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.